So now let's discuss certain key trends in employee recognition for the future. The first trend is in compliance with Industry 4.0, which is digital first. So the continuous rise or the constant rise of remote teams and hybrid working has meant that organizations have adopted more and more digital solutions to help them manage day-to-day tasks. Aspects like program management software, task scheduling software, then there can be WLB softwares, work-life balance. These help to sort out or, you know, segregate tasks better, and they rely on digital apps. The next one is indicating at people power. So with the arrival of the great resignation, if you remember what I had mentioned about certain cases happening in China, and there are also instances in the United States, the current pandemic proved to be a challenging year, the current year, and the businesses were challenged as well as the HR teams. So as businesses were challenged, the teams scrambled to fill roles in an ultra competitive marketplace. So because of the resignation, it had a sort of a domino's effect. Some research even suggests that more than 85 million roles could go unfilled by 2030, costing the global economy more than $8.5 trillion. So as there are niche roles being created, as some roles in various segments of the industries are getting outdated, it's difficult to find people. In a recent video which I had watched, I had seen that the truckers in the US, it's the number of truckers are dwindling and it's difficult to find substitutions. So this is becoming a real, pain point. So it will collapse the supply chain after a few years, which is now becoming important because e-commerce is being supported by these underlying supply chains. Again, from the context of people power, okay, with these numbers that were discussed in the last slide, it's important more than ever for organizations to make sure that they create a culture that attracts and retains the very best talent. So that's where the people factor comes in the current transition towards Industry 4.0. So it's not just the machines or the robots present in the plant, but it's the people who drive them towards more efficiency. The third factor is pretty interesting. It's known as gamification. Okay, so from the app you use to track your steps to the rewards program at your favorite coffee spot, there's a good chance that you've experienced gamification. So all of us have been subjected to some amount of gamification. Like for example, if you are a Starbucks or a CCD user, you usually get some, virtual points so that can be encashed as a sort of a discount. If you purchase from the online stores like, a Jabong or a Flipkart or an Amazon, you get certain points which can also be redeemed. So we've all been a part of this gamification. Now, when I usually tend to visit a lot of organizations for training and consulting projects, I also see that there are certain programs, certain gaming stations which are there, and in a virtual mode also, many companies have developed digital programs. They gamify the employee recognition programs, and this will enhance the employee's experience. So if they, set up some targets in a digital manner, if they allow competitions to happen, if they provide recognition, then this can encourage friendly competition that will bring the workforce together. It will essentially be instrumental in uniting the workforce. The next one is the involvement of peer-to-peer, which we've already seen. Nevertheless, I will just read this out for you. So by far, one of the most popular trends you're going to see over the next few months or 12 months is that of peer-to-peer. So remember the case of Jim and Tom. So something on those lines is unfolding today. This means instead of managers handing out awards, Your teams are encouraged to recognize one another's achievements and efforts. The next is that of tangible awards. So employee gifting is nothing new. The most recent example is when I conducted a successful team outbound activity for a prominent organization. They awarded me with a pen and one of the mementos of their organization. Yeah, it was a lovely mug. So, you know, employee gifting is nothing new. Indeed, for the years, bosses have been using employee reward programs in order to build a strong culture and create happy, motivated employees. I remember the organizations that I do work for from the L&D front, when we have virtual sessions, we also gift employees with, you know, virtual books or e-books, you may say, or some other form that is again a sort of a reward. Let's now look at some recent examples undertaken by global organizations, which, you know, they want to enhance recognition from their own end, or they want their employees to perceive the respective organizations as places where they are good to go or good to work. So this is Google first. So Google rolled out recently new performance review plan. So Google, in order to recognize its employees, in order to provide them with the notion that they are working with a good organization, has introduced a new performance management and promotion process beginning in the month of May this year. Google said it's taking a new approach called Googler Reviews and Development. In short, it's called as the GRAD program. Now, this will focus on employee development, learning and progression throughout the year, and will, you know, will encourage employees to take this particular program. In this context, Google said it looked at everything, starting with employee feedback as well as research, the industry best practices, and has thus learned how to design processes for fairness and consistency. So under the GRAD system, Google said that there will be feedback and check-ins throughout the year. So one check-in will focus on learning and career development at Google, you know, according to their blog post. Now, the second instance is that of our very Indian startup, which will now allow 30 minutes official nap breaks for employees. So there are certain places in the world which appreciate a sort of an afternoon siesta, like Spain, and a European country has an official 1 to 2 hours of siesta. And it's quite popular amongst many people in the world. Yeah, so in Pune, you've got, you initially had the afternoon times for closure of shops, and a Bangalore startup has recognized it in its importance. And of course, this is also a sleeping solution startup named WakeFit, and it has grabbed the attention of Twitter and other social media platforms after their co-founder Chaitanya, okay, he emailed the employees about officially taking naps during work. And of course, if it's happening in the workplace, there would be specially designated areas or pods to do so. So over here, if you notice, this is what was sent. So we have decided to normalize afternoon naps at work and declare 2 to 2:30 p.m. as the official nap time for all our employees. From now on, you will have the right to nap between these working hours. Your calendar will be blocked during this time as official nap time. And they are also working towards creating cozy nap pods. Okay, so this is what I just said. So this is a form of empowering your employees to take some rest after having a meal so that you come back refreshed. Yeah, so you are refreshed after that half an hour. You get your essential nappuccino and you are ready to work again. So you are not in a drowsy state while working. You are not forcing yourself to work. After that quick nap, after washing your face, you are refreshed and you're ready to go for the next 3 or 4 hours. Now let's look at another organization after WakeFit, And this is the story of Godfrey Phillips. So the agility with which Godfrey Phillips India has aligned itself post-COVID to the changed business context is really noteworthy. Now this is again featured as in many social media posts. So prominent initiative taken at Godfrey Phillips India included the creation of the GPI, their own anthem. Yeah, so during lockdown and virtual working, a GPI anthem was created by people from various functions, locations, by coming together. And it also included lyrics and music. So this became a uniting factor across their value chain, and people were simply motivated to have an organization-wide anthem at Godfrey Phillips. So a remarkable thing is that it was a complete in-house effort and was played in town halls and other virtual meetings. And what did this do? It bound people in a common thread and theme. So there was a heavy sense of involvement and engagement in the organization. Let's look at what efforts were taken at SEAT, which is a famous tire manufacturing organization. So the people focus clearly stands out at SEAT, with caring being one of their five values. So even in the present tough times, employees remained in the focus, and the people's strategy shifted towards employee health, care, support, development, and staying agile to keeping up with the continuous changes in the external and work environments this year. So it's really been, a people presence or a people focus that has been, a part of SEAT's endeavor. So SEAT's new work from home policy shatters the notion of traditional workspace, and productivity has started, it's turned on its head. So employees who are not operating machines can work from anywhere even after the pandemic is behind. So they will also retain this particular practice post pandemic. Okay, so by way of this policy, the organization is encouraging employees to adopt new methods of working and thus improve their quality. So let's say in the busy city of Mumbai, if a commute takes 2 hours for an accountant who's not operating a machine, of course, the only machine he has is the laptop or a desktop. So the same gentleman can work diligently from his home, attend meetings virtually, and create better performance and quality for the company. So thus, SEAT believes that empowering employees by giving them a choice to work remotely from home or another location for a significant number of days in a month will enhance employee efficiency and the business output. They're also entrusting their employees to do the best by not coming all the way to the office in certain days or during certain weeks. Okay, so also the most notable of the best people practices and initiatives at SEAT include calls with the chief fitness officer. So their chief fitness officer also reached out to all employees and spoke to them about staying fit, tips for building immunity, which was much required during COVID times, and addressing all their questions completely. Okay, from how to clean vegetables at home, when to eat, what to eat, treating cold and cough, taking care of children and senior citizens at home, etc. So this initiative was handled by a chief fitness officer, which was a position dedicated to guiding people, supporting them during the difficult pandemic times. So now let's transition or move to the next topic, the compensation and benefit trends in the future. So the social and economic impacts of COVID-19 have forced a significant number of organizations to reevaluate their approach, their strategy towards compensation and benefits. Prior to the pandemic, the outlook was strong with low employment, positive economic indicators, and a tight labor market. But these dynamics have changed over the last 2.5 years. Companies are taking this as an opportunity to examine their existing programs, and this could also result in increment of indicators like agility, transparency, and innovativeness to develop a more meaningful and strategic approach to employee pay. So employee payment can become more competitive, can become more, you know, innovative in its outlook. Now, one important aspect or a trend is the remote work, which has been discussed in the previous slides, but nevertheless, we'll have a detailed discussion here as well. Now, there is a certain stigma which was associated with working from home previously. It was like people gave reasons for not, coming to office, but that has disappeared now with the advent of the pandemic. And people realize that, yes, there are people who will work from home, will give the same results, yeah, or better results. So instead, remote work is expected to continue and increase, like we have seen in SEAT, we have seen in some other instances. So for some industries, as the economy eventually recovers, so we've seen that functions which do not require handling a CNC machine or a spindle or a person working physically in a foundry, if that's not so, they can develop a hybrid or a remote mode as well. So as a result, employers in large metros may consider hiring talent from locations with a more affordable cost of living. See, this is what is actually making employers think. So they might not want to give a huge salary to somebody who stays in a South Mumbai vis-a-vis who stays in Nagpur or Pune or some other location who is equally competent. So these people don't have to be given a commuting salary. They will work from home. They don't have to be, you know, they will not spend money on electricity and so on. So this can result in drastic salary cost savings as well as improvement in diversity. So it's not just a group of people, similar age, similar demographics from Mumbai, but it will increase the diversity. From the same context, they can invest this money in other benefits that will help attract top talent, such as professional development, tuition fee, reimbursement, wellness incentive programs, and childcare. So the same money would be spent or channelized in these efforts of the 21st century. The other side of remote working that is being explored by most organizations is the adjustment of employee pay if they move from a high cost to a low cost location. So while the distributed workforce model could have a significant impact on compensation, it goes well beyond this. So there are various tax and legal compliance requirements, both for the employer and the employee, that need to be also considered before initiating international home working. So for now, what we've done is we've discussed from a very restricted or a very narrow home working policy that is domestic, but this could also be extended to an international home working where we understand these issues. So each case needs to be analyzed from the perspective of permanent establishment, personal income tax, social security, and labor law arrangements. This actually induces some complexity for the moment, but of course will be figured out in a better manner in the upcoming months and years. Let's look at another compensation or compensation and benefit trend, that of the pay equity. So many organizations are putting conscious efforts to review their existing compensation policies to bring equity in compensation when employees perform the same job or role, while accounting for other factors such as experience level, performance, and tenure with the organization. By ensuring employees are paid equitably, employees can increase efficiency, creativity, and productivity by helping to attract the best talent, reduce turnover, and increase commitment. So some of these points we've already discussed in the earlier chapters of this subject. The next one being pay for skills. So digital transformation and automation, which is a core part of Industry 4.0, have brought in a sort of a change or a major disruption. Now, this has happened to such an extent that organizations are constantly challenged to adopt new technologies that can help them accelerate their business processes and bring in higher returns. For example, the Indian government is promoting industries for production of green hydrogen. So hydrogen that is produced from renewable resources like wind, projects, or maybe something like, maybe a gobar gas plant for that matter. So these new technologies can create clean hydrogen, which can go on and fuel, can become a fuel cell and become a fuel of the future. So hence, it's not just important to have great people, but also updated skill sets if a company must sustain and achieve its goal in today's fast evolving digital space. The next part is that of performance management and incentive design. So this now team has been a top priority in the last year and will continue to be the same throughout this and the next upcoming years, as well with organizations focused on making the biggest impact with limited amount of funds. Organizations are therefore targeting rewards towards critical talent and strong performers who are pulling the organization through the current crisis and those with the right capabilities to sustain the organization going forward. So as of what Prime Minister Modi has stated, this 4.0 vision of India will only be possible if the people who are leading organizations are competent along with the strong technologies or the technological developments. So we will also see companies moving towards a culture of performance coaching and constant feedback. So if you notice, we had discussed a bit about feedback. So it's also important for people to introspect where they are currently and what are the means and ways that they can progress in the future to stay abreast of the global developments. The last part is related to WLB. If you observed, I had mentioned this particular term, which is nothing but the work-life balance. And in the current times, it's very important that people don't get burnt out. People don't work long hours at home and experience a disillusionment or a burnout. So work and life are not independent entities that are fighting for a 50-50 equilibrium. Yeah? So they are basically interconnected and one affects the other. So let's say you're working long hours for a project from home as well as from the workplace. This will impact your personal life, correct? Now, this is especially in the case of women who have been conditioned to design life around demands of work. So the ladies who are working currently, they do a meticulous job of developing, office and their home in a proper manner. So they balance things and it's a tightrope walk for many and rarely to design work around the demands of life. So these may include paid access to online platforms to find care. So how do you increase the work-life balance for certain groups? Okay, for disillusioned people, people with mental health issues, okay, people like ladies who have to do a lot at home and also cater to the demands of work. So there might be some paid access, some OTT access, like they might get a Netflix subscription or they might, be given a backup care at a subsidized rate. There might be a new parent support system. So if they have elderly parents, this can also happen. Cash subsidies to those elderly people amongst others. So these are some ways that organizations can develop their compensation and benefit and channelize them in the future. So team, what we've done now is we have completed this particular subject. Yes. And in this particular chapter, we have seen the current trends that are happening in India, across the globe, and we are also aspiring to understand what would lie in the future in terms of the compensation and benefits. So in this particular manner, we have successfully completed this interesting subject on salary and wages administration. So thank you very much for patiently viewing this particular video recording.